What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I would say the answer to that is yes, but with a caveat. The National League is really strong. The Dodgers, the Phillies, the Mets, the Braves, all of these teams. I would even throw maybe the Diamondbacks in there as a World Series contender. The Padres will be good again, even though they've done so little. So the Cubs, yes. And keep in mind, they've added Ryan Pressly as well, and they have that addition coming. So I expect that they're going to be a pretty formidable team. How formidable remains to be seen.
So that's Ken Rosenthal on You Better You Bet with Nick Costos. What does he sound like, Shane, when Nick Costos greets the world?
What's up, everybody?
A lot like that. So Nick Costos and You Better You Bet, they talked to Ken Rosenthal, and he sounded like that, talking about the Cubs and Alex Bregman. And I don't know about you, Mark Grody. It's Spiegs and Grody on the Spiegel and Holmes show. But every Cubs conversation, certainly this offseason, at Cubs convention, and even just yesterday and the day before, on the radio here on the Score, is underpinned with an immediate reaction by a lot of people saying,
this would be different if Ricketts wasn't pocketing his money, or those cheap bastards, or they're resting on their 2016 laurels. And I'm not diminishing that thought.
Sounds like you are.
Well,
There's a level of understanding and acceptance of some realities that I don't think people are with. And I understand. I do understand, because it is super frustrating. But to me, it's been so obvious what the realities are by the way that Jed Hoyer talks about it, by the way that others talk about it. And there's like a, I don't think that Cubs ownership has done a very good job of explaining what the situation is. And I think it did not get helped at the Cubs convention. And so I wanted to talk about Cubs finances a little bit and where things are in MLB, because it extrapolates out to the larger issues in MLB, and it's super boring to think about. But it feels like we need to set it as kind of a backdrop of what's going on to see if it... It's not like I don't want to change people's minds. I would never try to do that. I just think that what the Cubs did in voicing it was very ineffective at the Cubs convention. And we should listen to Tom Ricketts from that convention and talk about it. Because the day after that he spoke about this on the Score, Ben Johnson's news broke. The news broke that Ben Johnson was going to be the Bears coach. And we never got a chance to talk about it. So let's hear this and discuss, okay? This is Tom Ricketts explaining the Cubs' financial situation and or limitations and or realities at the Cubs convention. We want to talk about it with you here on the Score.
Baseball, the business model in baseball, it's worked pretty well for a long time. But there's a few things right now that just are a little out of kilter. Obviously, the Dodgers have a lot more resources naturally from smart business moves they made years ago, and so I don't begrudge them any of that. Some teams just have outside resources that are funding their player moves and acquisitions, and that's really hard to compete with. And I understand when fans say, how come you don't spend like that? Because they think somehow we have all these dollars that the Dodgers have or the Mets have or the Yankees have, then we just keep it, which isn't true at all. Like, what happens is we try to break even every year, and that's about it. And so and I think that there's one problem that I think there's a competitive balance issue that gets created. But the other problem is I don't think fans should spend all their time thinking about which team has more money or how much they're spending. We should talk about players and who we draft and who we're developing, and I just think it becomes a big narrative that's a distraction. So I think the model could get better. And then secondly, I think the other part of this is, and a little bit frustrating at times, is, you know, we've invested more in the team and the ballpark and the neighborhood than any other owner out of their pocket in baseball. Like, we came out privately financing all the renovations at Wrigley, everything we do around Wrigley Field, you know, roughly $1 billion. And no one has that kind of financial commitment to their team. And so so when I have a fan come up and say, hey, you're cheap, or you're open your wallet or something like that, I just think they're just misinformed. And it's just the wrong way to look at our ownership.
So misinformed and the wrong way to look at the ownership. How did that come off to you when you heard it, Mark?
First of all, I wish he would expand on the misinformation, on fans and us in the media being misinformed. It hit me as, that's the most defensive presentation I've ever heard from Tom Ricketts. I mean, we've heard him get defensive in the past because he's always asked about payroll, of course, and it can never be enough. But this was the most steadfast. I felt like he was pointing a finger throughout all this. And the fact that he says that you shouldn't think about all the spending that's going on in baseball, I think that's a bit ludicrous. How can you not think about the spending going on in baseball, because the Dodgers are doing it at an alarming rate, and one that wins as well? So I think that's the wrong way to look at it from Tom Ricketts' point of view. You have to look at the spending that's going on in Major League Baseball.
I think it was way too defensive. It was unfortunate to do it that way and try to, and he couldn't keep his feelings out of it. He's a human. He's a person.
Yes.
And he couldn't, and he's tired of people coming up and saying, why don't you spend, man?
I know.
He's tired of it. He's frustrated by it. And he's like, man, we're trying here. Look what we're doing. But you can't do it. You cannot voice it. And I think there's a better way to discuss it. And I wonder if you would have discussed it in a better way, whether it would have come across. And so let's talk about it, you and I, because okay. I completely agree. Like, are you angry? There's a lot of people angry about the Cubs' lack of spending.
Well, I've been right there with the fans as well. Like, why can't the Cubs be one of those teams? It's the damn Cubs. Act accordingly. I think the fans have caught up with expectations and winning, and it's almost like ownership has regressed in that regard. Like, the fans are like, hey, we're here to win. No more lovable losers. No more of that crap from the past.
Right.
This team is about winning and winning World Series. But it's like ownership is not acting accordingly. Well, everybody else is, and I do find that ironic considering what I thought
now,
in 2015.
Everybody else is not. Like, everybody else in terms of other ownership groups, like, there's a very small tier of teams that are willing to go above the competitive balance tax again and again and again and just don't care. It's a tiny little tier, and he mentioned them. And I wonder if he had talked about it with more openness in terms of this. He mentions Steve Cohen has outside money from hedge funds that are just outrageous. The Ricketts family has outside money from Ameritrade, right? That's Joe Ricketts' money.
Yep.
But they don't use that for baseball. The team was bought by the Ricketts, by Papa Joe, and handed to the kids. And the message was, good luck. Here you go. And so what they do is they take, and Crane Kenny says this and stays on message with this, because I found out it's actually true. They're like, every dollar they make as a baseball team goes back in.
Yeah.
It actually does.
Oh, okay. So that lessens Ricketts' case then.
Well, that every dollar that
they make. They're putting the money back. The money's there. Where's the money?
Right. So the money, your money goes back in. But it's not enough. It's not enough to get you over the top. So then you get to the Hickory Street Partners and all the building that they did around Wrigley Field. As he says, proudly and a little too defensively that they put $1 billion dollars into everything around the ballpark and into to the ballpark's renovation.
Yeah. By the way, thank you. I was like thinking, yeah, you didn't have to say it the way you said, but I would. It does look good, Tom. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for that.
It's a nice job.
Yes.
But it's like he should be more open with what if the reality is that they put all that money in and they don't really make money from that because, as I've been told, there are partners who invested with them and there was debt that you take on when you're building that stuff and investing the money. If you didn't actually make that money, you need to tell people that. That level of openness and transparency would really change things. And he's not doing that. He's saying defensively, we put all this money into other stuff.
You need to look at the game a different way.
Right. And what he should say is, look, we put a lot of money in stuff, and we don't actually make money from that because we had partners and there was debt involved. So we're still putting everything that we make back into. Like, he's got to be way more patient and kind and relaxed in kind of sharing some of this stuff.
But I think he has.
And more transparent. Well, you think he has been?
I think he typically has not been as emotional about it, I guess is what I'm saying. Like in past years, in terms of talking about the budget and what GMs are allowed to do on his watch.
Sure.
This is the most defensive I've ever heard him. Isn't it for you? I mean, like,
I think
in past years he's been defensive.
Well, and then it comes to this. I don't know if he wants to share some of the stuff about these other teams that are true. Like the Steve Cohen hedge fund stuff, everybody knows. The Dodgers and their TV money.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they took Time Warner Cable to such extent. Time Warner Cable gave them a deal at the end of the cable era, gave them a deal that has guaranteed escalators in it for expansion of viewers. It's absurd. It's ridiculous.
So you think he's dying to tell everybody that, like, look, it's crazy what these teams are doing. Don't get sidetracked by what the Mets are doing and the Dodgers, because it's fantasy world.
He should tell everybody.
Right.
He should probably say that.
Because as I coined yesterday, there are supermarkets, right? And big markets. The Cubs are not a supermarket.
Here's another one. Here's a third example.
Yeah,
Phillies.
Third.
Phillies do have a good TV deal.
Yeah.
They also have slowly been selling off bits and pieces of their team. Middleton, and this is true, I think, in Texas, too, where they've sold off little bits and pieces. They've sold off equity to own less of the company, own less of the team, and then used that money to invest in the payroll every year. Mm. As a business choice, objectively, if you owned a business, would you sell off equity to finance a payroll in a given year to chase a World Series? That's questionable.
You
could argue with it,
but
you could also say, you know what, I actually understand that. Like if he shared that reality, that they're choosing not to sell off equity because he wants to leave it for his kids and the next generation, is that a reasonable choice from a business perspective?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's actually kind of a reasonable choice to not sell off bits and pieces.
Probably. I mean, as a rule, right? To not have to go to that area to compensate.
And also making the choice to not go into more debt to spend on payroll every year, right? So those are choices as a business owner that I believe he's making and not sharing. And it's super boring. But I wonder if there's a way that if he voiced, we don't have what the Dodgers have, we don't have what the Mets have, and then we're not willing because of business philosophy and family philosophy, would it make a difference? If he voiced it, would it make a difference to the fans to actually hear that and know that in a transparent kind way?
To say we're not willing, to say,
If you owned a business, would you go into further debt to finance a payroll?
Are you crazy? Like, if he was to say that, be, as you said, transparent, he would get roasted. I mean, think about just the comment that he made about biblical losses coming out of the pandemic. Even that, when you could maybe understand why things would be going poorly with the bank account, even then, he got roasted for that. He would get crushed if he
maybe
was
so.
To
so, maybe, so maybe, it's, maybe it's not winnable. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Like if you looked at the Padres and said, well, Peter Seidler was dying and decided to just sell a bunch of his team and put all that into payroll these last 5 years. And now AJ Preller and others are trying to clean up the mess right now. And that's why they might trade Dylan Cease. That's why they might trade Michael King, as they're trying to do that, right? Or that Toronto has Rogers Corp, this international publishing conglomerate that actually gives them a different kind of thing, and they have Canadian tax laws and yada, like that. All this individual stuff, I don't know if anybody gives a crap. And I don't know if there's a winnable way.
That's a great point. It's not winnable. And it's not winnable because it's Chicago and it's the Cubs. And so there's a certain expectation. Wait, if they're doing that, why can't we do it?
Right.
And somebody will always find the loophole or the caveat and say, oh, no, Ricketts could do that.
Right.
Call BS and say, yeah, they could comport themselves like the Dodgers and the Mets if they wanted to.
So last year, the Cubs were seventh in payroll. Right. Year before that, 11. Year before that, 14 twice. And that was at when they like willingly went backwards. 2020.
The Yu Darvish trade.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. 2020, they were third. Year before that, third. Year before that, fourth. You know, and then ninth, and then fifth. So top 10 for like 6 years in a row.
Okay.
Then they willingly go backwards with a Yu Darvish trade, which absolutely sucked, and a Kyle Schwarber non-tender, which absolutely sucked. And now it's time to move forward. They're slated to be 11th this year. They need to be higher. They need to be higher. They need to be, if they're seventh again, like if they were seventh last year, if they end up seventh again, that's actually where they kind of make sense from their business possibilities. More like Atlanta.
Right.
More like Atlanta.
When you add it all up.
And more
yes.
like the Giants. I know this is super boring, but like I've thought a lot about the MLB landscape here.
Yeah.
The Giants are 10th right now. So, you know, so that's, those are their comps. They're not the Dodgers, and they're not the Mets, and they're not the Phillies, and they're not the Yankees. But guess what? The Yankees were even bitching about the Dodgers. Did you see that?
Yes.
Hank Steinbrenner bitched about the Dodgers.
Yes.
So they're towards the top or the middle of a second tier of MLB ownership groups. That's where they actually are. And guess what? Jed Hoyer knows it. Jed Hoyer knows it. So, like, going after Jed Hoyer for them being cheap, Jed Hoyer is just, like most bosses of sports teams, he's doing what ownership is allowing him to do.
Well, then I guess if they're in that same area as the teams that you mentioned, like the San Franciscos of the world, and he's had a top 10 payroll, I mean, does this mean that, is it truly Jed Hoyer got to win this year or he's out?
Yes. Because to that point exactly.
I'm flip-flopping a little bit.
No, but think about it. Because to that point exactly, it's his job to sell it and make it work.
Right.
And
here's our plan. Make it work.
Yeah.
Go spread the word
of
our plan.
And in the end, you're the one who gets blamed.
Yeah.
You're the one because it's your job.
Because it was and I think I said this yesterday, that Tom Ricketts doesn't seem motivated to do a whole lot right now in terms of sustained success. So why would he be motivated to make a change in his president of baseball operations when he could just keep on doing what he's doing? But if this is what any GM would get, any president of baseball operations, if the budget is the budget and it is what it is, then Jed Hoyer has not taken the Cubs to the playoffs in 4 years.
Absolutely.
It's been since the pandemic season, and that kind of doesn't count.
And I'll tell you right now, if they don't make the playoffs, Jed Hoyer should be replaced. Absolutely.
It's making more sense to me. I mean, you laid that out well. And the fact that, I mean, and we have to really analyze, too, about Jed Hoyer when he is running the show.
Yeah.
How good of a GM is he?
A couple texters. If the Dodgers and Mets are a fantasy, what are you guys talking about? Those teams exist. They're the two biggest markets. It's not just about market size. I just told you. It's about hedge fund money for Steve Cohen, who just doesn't give a crap about losing a couple $100 million. And it's about a TV deal which doesn't exist and will never exist again for the Dodgers.
To your point, it's not a winnable situation. You laid it out really well, Spiegel.
Right.
And there are still going to be texts coming in that are going to be saying,
Because nobody wants to defend a billionaire. Nobody,
and to be clear,
I'm not doing it. I'm asking the question of if it's winnable, and I think he was too defensive and his messaging was bad, but it's still hard.
You're telling us what you think it is or what you know it is.
Yeah, Texter says, Speaks, Ricketts is saying what you're saying, but he's just not saying it.
Oh my God, now I'm confused. Just saying it. He said
God,
it.
Can I just
said
say
the thing, Gross, and then he said it.
I hate learning this stuff. Yeah, I hate it.
I know.
It is distracting. It's right. It's the reality. Well, and somebody asked me at the convention, I was sitting there afterwards, somebody said, hey, Speaks, can you explain this to me? A listener, Matt from Iowa City. And I'm sitting there talking to him, and I explained some of this, and he's like, wow, that actually makes sense. And I realized, okay, I guess you got to do that on the air sometime.
Yeah. Unfortunately, ready for this, Spiegel?
Yes,
sometimes
please.
Knowledge and background on things makes us too rational. And that's what it is. That's the feeling. Like, I can feel it from you. You're like, yeah. I hate what I'm saying,
yeah.
But it is what it is. I mean, and there have been times when I have had background I have occasionally off the air shared background stuff with you that I get from my job as a Bears beat reporter. Sometimes I know things that I can't share, that I have to be creative in the way I share it, like knowledge. Knowing things, understanding the way things works, makes you rational. And I'm always saying that to you because I know you've been kind of conflicted over this since we started talking about it yesterday, and then you just expressed that now.
And real quick, production meeting on the air. Just a thought for me, just a little old me.
Yeah, Bears.
Don't say a quote, I know this is really boring when you're doing a topic.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't leave with that.
No.
I tried to jump in. I was like, all right, then what are we doing?
Yeah. Well. Also,
own it. Own it. It's the most exciting thing in the world.
If you like it, just do it.
But I don't like it. That's the point.
So then don't do it.
But it has to be done.
Baby.
I realized it had to be done when I was talking to Matt from Iowa City.
Right.
He's sitting there with his cooler because you can tailgate in a hotel at the convention. Did you know that, Shane?
No.
Tanny?
No,
yeah, I said this in the meeting. I said, that's not how you catch up to the Dodgers, by letting these people bring in their own food and drink. You got to be charging these people. They'll pay for it.
Dude,
I promise you.
They basically should have set up a Smokey Joe in the lobby. I mean, they're hanging around with their coolers drinking their beers. I'm like, man. Yeah, that's one way to do it. I had no idea, but I realized I had to do it. So I had to do the boring part.
Well, but even if it's boring, don't say beforehand.
Don't say it's boring.
This might be really boring.
No, that's good. Go,
Grady.
Yeah, Let me give you an or. Yeah. Or
and then we have to talk to Jack McMarlin.
Okay.
We do need to talk to Jack McMarlin. We do.
Or don't do this because I almost lost it for a second when you said, kids, we're going to talk about finances now. I was like, no.
So I think... you know what? You know, I'm going to point a thumb.
Well, yeah.
Now it's done. I did it. It's done.
Yeah.
Let's send it away off into the ether. If anybody should...
I made baseball as much fun as doing your taxes.
Thanks, Bill James.
It's really not a profitable industry.
I knew we should have kept Mike Brown on for another segment.
We really should have. Now, if anybody asks about Cubs finances for the rest of the season, we'll just point him to this segment, and then we'll move the hell on.
I'm going to text Crane right now and just ask him about the finances.
Oh, yeah.
Jenna, back there, make sure Duddleson has this on the video right now.
Yeah.
Boom.
There we go. All right. You want a good vibe story?
Bears.
You want a really nice story?
Yeah, bring it.
How about somebody who dreamed of being in MLB and actually made it to the show? And they are a relative and friend of the show. Let's do that next with Jack McMarlin on the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
0-1 to Bigby. Swinging a chopper over to short. Owings has got it. He goes to second for one. On to first. Great turn by Gonzalez, and they get him. Priester gets out of the inning thanks to Nick Gonzalez receiving that toss with a bare hand and firing a dart to first base. 6-4-3 on the high chopper. Owings picked up the short hop. Gonzalez knew he had to hurry. And the nice pick by Nunez gets Bigby by a step. Bases loaded, nobody out, and Priester gets out of it unscathed.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the score.
I don't know. I thought that guy sounded pretty good. That was the radio voice, excuse me, the television voice of the Indianapolis Indians, of the AAA outpost of the Pittsburgh Pirates. But
dump him, Tinny.
Yeah, I know, right? The Indianapolis Guardians. Now, I'm not going to have to say that anymore. I like a little bit of a hitch in my giddy up every time I say the Indians, but it's just because it's Indianapolis. Anyway,
dude, stop saying Indians.
I got to stop.
Enough with the hitch and the giddy up and all that.
Thank you. Jack McMullen has been termed Jack McMarlin by our mutual friend Jason Benetti, because Jack McMullen is now the radio voice of the Miami Marlins, and he joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Jack, welcome to the Spiegel and Holmes Show. It's Spiegs and Mark Grody and Chris Tannehill and Shane Reardon. Congratulations on being one of 30 Major League Baseball radio voices. How you doing?
It's weird to hear, man. I'm doing well. It's funny. As soon as I, start the process of looking for an apartment in Miami, I get my jury summons in Chicago. So I look forward to making a phone call and getting out of that. That's going to be great.
Ah, what a good reason to get out of it.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Look, you made it to the show. So I think you get to hear Kevin Costner from Bull Durham right now.
You'll never make it to the bigs with fungus on your shower shoes. Think classy. You'll be classy.
You got to be careful. No fungus on the shower shoes. You got to step up the wardrobe, the hygiene in general, the haircut consistency, all of that. Like, it's a whole new ballgame, isn't it?
That's the big one, haircut consistency. Because I hit a point where I was like once every 3 weeks or so, and then I was like, you know what? I'm a minor league announcer. For the sake of being cost effective, it's time to pivot to like once every 6 weeks, once every 2 months. But I think we got to go back to 3 weeks or a month now.
Oh, yeah, man. You can get the really good haircuts now with that MLB dough.
Well, see, Grody, you've done it. You've lived it as pre and post for the Cubs.
Yeah, I traveled with the Cubs for 3 years, so I do understand the lifestyle and the venture that you are taking on.
Was there access to the team barber?
Oh, I did not have access to the team barber. I had a lot of perks with the Cubs job, but I did not. The barber was not one of them.
What kind of perks can Jack look for? I'm looking forward to the gravy train.
Well, he knows how nice. Well, no, he doesn't, because he's only done minor leagues. The travel, just the way Major League Baseball teams travel, like having your bus pull up to an airplane and then take you to the ride to the airport accompanied by state police. It's 5 o'clock on a Friday, and you're going down to Kennedy to O'Hare, and everybody's having to pull over because you're on the bus, man. So the travel,
let's go,
Jack, is going to be exquisite for you, I think.
A lot of people are telling me about this this commute from, you know, Fort Lauderdale area to Miami, and rush hour can be brutal. And I'm pretty excited for that police escort.
Yeah, but you're never going to have to deal with that again.
I'm really excited. From Loan Depot to MIA, that's going to be great to not have to deal with that. And I'm good. You know, I do the pre-check thing, but I'm all right not using that and just walking on the bird.
Oh, listen to him walking on the bird. For those who don't know, Jack is my nephew. I was at Jack's bris. You guys know what a bris is? Shane, Tanny, you guys know what
like
a bris is?
A slow bris cook?
I've seen Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's like the circumcision thing, right?
Yeah.
Jack, how close is Matt been to your penis?
Well, let me answer that for Jack. My job at his bris was something called the Sandek, S-A-N-D-E-K, which is a lovely part of the house. It's where the sun comes in. No, the Sandek is, I had to put a piece of gauze with Manischewitz wine into Jack's mouth as the only anesthesia that's allowed technically at the bris, as the Moyle does his job on Jack's little marlin.
I'd order some, but it looked funny on my table. Yeah.
I thought we were
wild.
I thought we were going to talk Marlins baseball, all that stuff.
No, dude.
Cal Quantrill looks like he's going to be a Marlin.
No.
Cal Quantrill.
Your little jazz chisel.
Oh, yeah. Tell us all about Cal Quantrill. But no, it's the thing. Jack's my dude. Jack is a wonderful young man who I have seen. And listeners, score listeners, know about your role in my life has permeated into conversation on the score, and therefore to listeners. McNeil used to say, "Oh, the McGillicuddies," because
remember that? I do remember that.
Because I would talk about the McMullins. He's like, maybe you don't want to blow their anonymity out there in Oak Park. You just want to say the McGillicuddies instead. And I used to talk about you as a pitcher at OPRF. Describe the arsenal, Jack.
We're all very proud of you, Jack.
Yeah, but describe the arsenal, please, as a pitcher. What'd you have?
Well, thank you, guys. It was 74 on my best day. It was that natural two seam. It was great. Pivoted to a sinker. I wanted to roll a couple more ground balls than the. I don't know what classic exit velocities were in Chicagoland high school baseball, but they were really high against me. So I wanted to get away from the liners and try and get, you know, 105 off the bat on the ground instead. So we went sinker. We went 12-6 curveball, which was great.
Oh yeah,
and then decent feel for the change up too. So, you know, I could get through five innings with one punch out, but no walks. That's what I hung my hat on.
I once wrote a baseball column, I believe when I was writing for the Daily Herald, Jack, about watching you pitch and feeling like I had a dog in the fight as a baseball fan for the first time in my life. You know, like there was a moment, Mark Grody, where I saw Jack strike out a dude to end the inning with a 12-6 curveball that just dropped in.
The old Rich Hill.
Yeah, exactly. And he walked off the mound before the umpire made the call. You know that move?
Oh, yeah!
You know that move?
Yeah, that's strong. And everybody's okay with it, too.
Because you froze him.
Right.
You froze him with the curve. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, that's my nephew.
Oh, that's neat, Jack.
Look at that. So I've been in your corner as a player, and now to be in your corner as a broadcaster and see you do this, I just got to say, it's pretty darn thrilling, I got to say.
I I was so cool when I was 14 years old, man. It was great reading that article, and friends' dads were like, hey, I read this piece from your uncle. I was like, yeah, no, for sure. I think there was a point where I got like a lot less cool, and then it was a slow taper down from there, but there was some steep drop off at some point. I have no idea when it was. 18th birthday, high school graduation, whenever it was.
It happens to all of us.
Yeah, really.
I have to ask you this, though. As you know, as we've been discussing, as the fabric of this conversation, you know that Uncle Matt is a massive, massive baseball fan, obviously. You know that. Yeah. We all know that. That it is in his blood. It is the fabric of Matt Spiegel. So that said, you have a play-by-play job in Major League Baseball. Matt is trying to get a job as a play-by-play guy in Major League Baseball. How has his jealousy manifested itself towards you, young Jack?
Tell you what, he called me, and the first thing he said was, you get your own episode on the PBP now, which was you know, clear where his priorities were.
Yeah, your content, kid. Yeah.
And here it's are at 4:25 on the afternoon show. That's right.
Right? It's really funny because, you know, I will say, and I've told Matt this, like, I got into this because I watched him do it. And the last time that I watched hockey was probably when Marian Hossa was on the ice. But, I mean, I saw him on the ice after the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup and was like, I want to talk about sports for a living. I don't know what sport. I don't know where. All I know is that I want to be there for the thing.
That's awesome.
And I got into this. I wanted to go to college to do that. And I got there. And then 2017, I interned with WGN. And my job was with the production crew. And I just sat in the back of the TV booth. And I watched Benetti and Hawk do their thing on the south side. And I watched Len Casper do his thing on the north side. And I said, you know, sorry, Uncle Matt. Like, I think the talk thing is cool, but their office is the ballpark. So let's try and pivot to that. And the pivot has gone decently well, I think.
Yes, yes, it has. What do you love about baseball play-by-play?
You get to do it every day. It's the unique game where, regardless of what happens on Monday, you get to do it again on Tuesday. And regardless of what happens on Thursday,
I think he was going to say you get to do it again on Friday.
Jack,
right? Things. Oh, you got me.
Got you back. Uh-huh. Keep going.
Yeah. So I mean, the beauty of this is you get to do it every day. Football, you do it 16 times, and you wait all week to do it again. And in 3 hours, it's over. Mm-hmm. Baseball, you know, things don't go your way, your team's way that you are, you know, employed by. You get to do it again 24 hours later. I love being able to get up and do the same thing again.
It's a hell of a metaphor for life, isn't it? It really is.
Well, it was like the when I was doing pregame for the great Pat Hughes, the Hall of Famer, who's still doing it at a very high level for the Cubs, when it would be an exhaustingly horrible day for the Cubs, or if it was like a 1-0 thriller, one hitter, Pat would always say the same thing, Jack, at the end of the broadcast. Well, tomorrow's a brand new day, and then he'd walk in the next day, and everything that happened the day before, except for the obvious references to it, it was full speed ahead to the next game. It stays mm-hmm. behind. So to your point, you really gotta love that stuff, Jack, to want to do that. And it sounds like you have that necessary information known already.
I think so, and it's appreciating the differences of each day, right? It's appreciating the difference between a 1-0 game and an 8-7 game and an 8-1 game, but it's also, you know, appreciating the similarities as well, where, hey, you're going to put that 1-0 game to bed when you go to bed, and you're going to get up at 7:30, 8 a.m. the next day, and then you get to do a lot of similar things that you had done the day before. I like that. I'm a routine-based person.
Jack, the Marlins' job as compared to others, the Marlins' payroll as compared to others, we could talk about where they are in the MLB stratosphere, but it's also a place where Boog Shambi started. It's a place where Len Casper started. It's a place where Dave O'Brien came through, as he's now the Red Sox voice, and I believe Joe Angel. I'm sure there are more. It's been a tremendous proving ground for young broadcasters historically, hasn't it been?
Yeah, the history of that position on radio and in TV is not lost on me by any stretch. And I know that those are big shoes. And I think Kyle Seeloff, who was the radio guy before me, who just elevated to the TV job, who I think is going to do a great job, he set a wonderful precedent for me to hop in and try and elevate that product. But it is the alumni list in those booths is not lost on me in the slightest. And I will tell you, I really do like that organizational direction. I got to chat with Peter Bendix, the president of baseball operations, during the interview process, and he came from Tampa. They do a great job in Tampa, and it seems like they're set up for a lot of success moving forward.
Yeah, Jack, do you have a favorite word that you think you're going to throw out there? Because we have a couple from Spiegs, but I think Tanny has one here that we love more than anything.
Spanked so, very high in the air. The 1-1 from Sandoval is spanked, but right at the shortstop, Tyler Wade. Delivery, and that from Yan Gomes is spanked into right field. Spanked, spanked, spanked.
Love to spank, Jack. Yeah. What are you feeling, brother?
I'll use spanked as an ode to the host of the PBP, Voices of Baseball, but I love calling stuff high octane. I will say that's my jam. Whoa, I love guys octane. With high octane stuff.
That's a professional broadcaster there, man.
Yeah, and try lean into spanked. Just maybe once in that first week, you know?
Define leaning in. Like, what is leaning in?
Once. Once is
just
all I mean.
Just spank it, brother.
Yeah. Man, I wish you all the best. I hope you spank the hell out of this job.
Okay, that's enough.
I know. I think it is.
But, spanked, spanked, spanked.
Yeah, thank you. Just remember, you are an emblem of that next generation who will one day be able to hire and fire us all. When you eventually need to cover 10 to 20 games for your national schedule, I know a guy. Okay? Just keep that in mind, Pally. It's right.
Gotcha.
It's all commerce. That's because I did such a good job at your bris. Jack, thank you. Congratulations. We are all thrilled for you. A lot of avuncular feelings here at the Score for young Jack.
Congratulations.
Yeah, see? You got Mitch's congratulations right there.
Thank you. No, that was good paying it full circle with the bris reference at the end.
Right?
Great job.
Yeah, thank you. It was a little callback. That's what they call
Uncle
in the business.
Matt's a professional.
Always teaching. Yeah. Always, yeah. Always teaching.
Uncle Matty.
Thanks, man. Love you.
Thanks, guys.
And someday there'll be the historic autobiography or on History Channel of Matt Spiegel, and they'll be talking about what a clean broadcaster did, great work, his classic spanked calls that we all remember.
George will pontificate on it.
But it was really the spank calls that it came down to.
Yeah, I killed base runners and I talked about spank.
And he's going to be dead.
Yeah, I know. I know. These are my calling cards as a broadcaster.
It could be, it might be, it is, and spank.
Doing a Cubs game next week. Next week, as a matter of fact.
Are you serious?
Next Thursday.
Yeah, congratulations.
Oh, yeah, next Thursday and okay. And next Sunday.
So what's
or
the
Friday?
The
Friday. Friday and Sunday.
With whom? Give me the lowdown.
Me and Ron Coomer.
Okay, the Coom Dog and
the,
you?
On the Cubs flagship network.
Sick.
Cubs Dodgers on Friday at Sloan Park in Mesa.
Oh, my God.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
You're welcome, Pat.
Now get out of here.
So I do a game on Friday, and then on Saturday, Jack begins his career with the Marlins.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
This is, wow.
Yeah.
That is pretty
cool. Be proud, dude.
Yeah.
Like you've been a big thing for him. Be proud.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. He's a wonderful kid, as are all of the McGillicuddies. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score. Mark Grody filling in.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Joe Buck, do you know that Spiegs is doing ads for a hair treatment that he doesn't need?
The idea of you doing any sort of hair restoration thing makes me gag. Now, good for you. Yeah. It's all in the name of commerce, and I tip my cap that's hiding my thin hair.
I haven't seen you on
Afternoons on the Score.
It is Spiegs and Grody on the Spiegel and Holmes show here on 670 The Score. Baseball is getting closer. We did a lot of baseball this hour. The really fun, not boring at all, Cubs finances segment that I thought was just, woo, man. Just it set the world on fire from my perspective.
Mm.
And then hot bris conversation with Jack McMarlin.
Which I'm sure he just loves.
Yeah, I told him I think I have to retire the bris story now.
But
right?
You didn't guarantee it to him.
I didn't guarantee it.
I love the way you put that.
Why?
I
was
like, yeah. Because
you have to.
But I feel like we're full circle now. Now he's made it to the show, and I don't have to reference that I was at his bris anymore.
But didn't we talk about somebody else's penis yesterday, Tanny? Who was it?
Yeah, that is a regular, that's a tool in your toolbox there that you go to
week,
quite
I
often.
I feel like we said penis
tool. All right.
Grody, whose penis did we talk about yesterday?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was like.
You want to talk about yours tomorrow?
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
That's not.
Talk about
we'll talk about ants tomorrow.
Yeah. Big ants? No, well, they call them big ants. Use your imagination, and you're probably right.
Groats, you saw Shota Imanaga on your television.
I did. I just saw Shota, and it sparked a question that I should ask you, because I've been talking to friends who think that Shota Imanaga is going to fall off the table this, because he had like a brilliant start, an elite start to the season. They came back to the pack a little bit, but ended up having a good season. What do you think Shota's going to be like this season? Is he still going to be really good as a starting pitcher for the Cubs this year?
I think so, but that start was like Fernando mania. It was like Fernando Valenzuela 81 stuff.
Well, and undeserved, too. And I remember we always did it like so long with the caveat of, well, we know he's going to come down to earth soon, and it took a long time before he came down to earth.
Well, you know, it's interesting because he like basically got away with being a two-pitch pitcher. He has more pitches than that. I kept waiting for like the depth of stuff to take over and to use more of his arsenal.
Yeah.
And he kind of never did, never had to. So he's still got some of those tricks in his back pocket if he needs it.
Yeah.
He's got the two pitches that look alike where one drops and one doesn't.
Right.
And that's like that is death to the uppercut swing, which dominates MLB.
And I remember when national audiences started to figure that out, and they would really zero in on that. I was like, okay, here's his trick. So, okay, yeah, I do think Shota will be good. What about Tyone, though? Because Tyone kind of feels like an every other year guy. Mm. He had a good year last year.
He really did. You know, it's interesting. Like, you've got... I don't know. Like, Tyone's got a big depth of stuff, and he's super smart, but he's not a strikeout guy.
Yeah.
But you're right. He had like his best year in 4 or 5 last year. When you actually look at it, he finished crazy strong. And we talked to him at the convention, and he's trying to stay focused. He's super smart and stay in the mode with which he finished the year. But look, Shota, Steele, Tyone, Matthew Boyd is a real good 2 through 5. I should say.
Right.
It's like, I feel like they still need a one. And I really wanted somebody with one caliber stuff.
You're not completely sold on Steele as a straight up.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn close.
I know, but
at this
man,
point.
If they need at least another, like a 1-2-3.
Yeah.
I want Cease or Michael King from San Diego so bad.
Right.
So
somebody, again, that guy that makes sense of the rest of the rotation.
Yes.
Then you're like, you get that guy and you're like, wow, okay.
And you're like, oh my God, Matthew Boyd is the 5.
Right.
Or Tyone is the 5.
And then you've still got like guys
Jordan
Wicks and Javier Assad. What do you do with those guys?
Jordan Wicks. I know it would be a fourth lefty, but watch out for Jordan Wicks, who's in shape. He was not in shape at the beginning of camp last
year.
Interesting. He's in shape now, and he's attacking it in a different, focused kind of way.
Former first-round pick, you don't just let those guys lob off the rotation. So he's going to get opportunities for sure.
Yeah, and Ben Brown, but like, I don't know what role Ben Brown's going to be. If he's healthy and
Cade
confident.
Horton.
Yeah. I mean,
is there something
there's
there?
Some guys. So look, they're pretty good at starters 6 and 7.
Colin Ray is back on the Cubs.
2 through 7 is really good.
Yeah.
I do wish they had a 1, to be honest.
No, you're probably right. You're probably right. Just somebody that would make sense of the rest of the rotation.
When we come back, the NFL is going to do something to you again, whether you like it or not. Spiegs and Grody will discuss next on The Score.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.